over, and the roof leaketh. And God just pours out the blessings, you know, and says, rain on the just and the unjust. But we thank God we have a nice place here, and warm, and we get together and have fellowship and good times. Praise the Lord. And learn about the Lord, His will for us. 40 years in the wilderness. It's a long time. That's something that happens sometimes. And we want to kind of look at that and see what keeps people in those situations. Why do we get stuck there? Sometimes that happens. And it can happen to the best of us. And here, in the first place, we're going to talk about one of the problems that kept those people in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 10:1, let's just review our passage that we are using for our basic text. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized in the Moses in the cloud and the sea. Last time, we talked about how that he's talking to the Corinthians, and he's saying, you know, you have had these things happen. They're good. You know, that is going to keep you from ending up in big trouble. And he wants them to think about, start realizing if there's more to it than just getting dunked. And they do all, he's like this, do baptism and the Lord's Supper, and they all eat the same spiritual meat, and they all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. This morning we gathered together here to have, every week, we gather to remember the Lord's death when he comes again. To declare that as we partake together of the Lord's Supper. As he said, this do in remembrance of me. But, he says, with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. We want to remember that just because we ate some food or did something that God said, that doesn't necessarily mean that we might not run into trouble. We want to use good judgment in how we behave and how we manage our lives. And in the case that he's referring to here in these three chapters, 9, 10, and 11, Paul is dealing with the problem of them eating meat sacrificed to idols. And while we may not do that today in this country, still the basic problem is still there. The problem of becoming involved with the world and the things of the world and how those things may corrupt us. We say, oh, it won't hurt us, you know, it's not going to bother us. We're smart enough and we're strong enough. And he says, and that's what they said, see. And he said, well, he said, you need to think about it. They weren't strong enough. So you might not be strong enough either. You need to learn to stay away from the dangers. That's what he's going to tell you. And he says, now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now he's going to give a list of these kind of things that kept them in the wilderness and caused them to fall. But we're going to just take one this time of these and concentrate on it. Actually, this field was pretty well trampled down last week with Brother Chase as he got into the problems of the kind of things that people get to desiring and wanting that cause them trouble. And so I come into this now with already a lot of good work that's been done on it, so I'm going to just kind of try to give you a little, few other things. We need to learn. Remember, they lusted, and there's a problem. Here's the occasion he's referring to us in Numbers 11, chapter in the 4th through the 6th verse. He says, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell to lusting. Now, the mixed multitude were the people who were not really Jews. They were not from Israel, but they had come out with when God took them out of Egypt. They came along as part of the crowd, and that's what happens a lot of times in the church. The same way, people outside come in, and we tend to a lot of times be pressured to be like the world. We have to do things. We have to have the kind of music they have, and we have to have the same kind of way of organization of the church. And we've got to, a lot of times, a lot of churches even get rid of baptism and the Lord's Supper because, hey, that'll bother them if we make any distinction. And after all, they shouldn't have to come in here. And while we're having the Lord's Supper, and they're going to sit there and watch us, things like that. They don't understand. And so, we, to a certain extent, are affected by the values and the attitudes outside. But God has a way that is best. And He stands for, He presents these things to us, and we need to learn to rely on Him, not on what other people think and what they like and what they do. We need to do what God wants done. So he says, he talks about, the children says, the mixed multitude, they fell to lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who should give us flesh to eat? They'd come out into the wilderness there, and God had provided this manna for them. And they'd been eating it for a little while. And all we have is this manna. You know, they were glad to get it at first, but now it's the same old stuff, same old way, same, you know, we have to go out every day and pick this stuff up, and we have to grind it, and we have to cook it, and all we have is mush. How many of you ever eaten mush? That takes me back to my old days. And we used to have mush, all kinds of mush. We had cornmeal mush, white cornmeal mush, and yellow cornmeal mush, and we had oatmeal mush, and we had wheat mush, and we'd fry it later. It was a little better when we fried it. But I guess they call it, what do we call it, grits? Down the south. But that's kind of what was happening. Here's all we got is mush every day. It's the same old stuff. And we want something different. We want some of those nice goodies that we had back in Egypt. Who shall give us flesh to eat? I want some chicken. Fried chicken. I'm going to go down to send down and get an order from Colonel Sanders. Well, Colonel hadn't been born yet, so they were out of luck. So who's going to get us some flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we didn't eat in Egypt freely. See, they're out in the wilderness. They can't fish. No place to fish. The cucumbers. No, I don't care. They could have kept the cucumbers. I'm not that wild about them. My wife likes them. So. And the melons. Now, I do like watermelon, I have to say. I do like watermelon. And the leeks. And the onions. And the garlic, good stuff. Good stuff. I have to empathize with them a little bit. But, you know, they're out there. But the thing is, you see, they had gone up to Palestine and they were getting ready to go in. And sent the spies in, they came back and brought a report. Ten of them said, oh, it's a terrible place. There's giants in the land. We can't get it. And we can't whip them. We're out of luck. And Joshua and Caleb said, oh, we can go in there. God's with us. But they decided not to, and God said, all right, you like it out here, and we'll give you 40 years of it. And that's what I was talking about. They all died in the wilderness, all those, except Joshua and Caleb. Two faithful men, and a whole, almost 2 million people who would believe the false report. You better be careful about what you believe. you can end up in the same kind of problems. And that's what happened. They ended up out, they stayed out in the wilderness. They could have been in the promised land, but they didn't believe. Walk by faith and not by what people tell you. So they won these things, but now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Terrible. And there went forth a wind. The Lord said, okay, all right, gonna give you the bird. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought the quail from the sea, and let them fall by the camp. And it was a day's journey on this side, and it was a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and it was 2 cubits high unto the face of the earth. So, all right, go ahead, have at it. And the people stood up all that day, and all that night, and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He'd have gathered at least, gathered 10 homers. I don't know how much a homer is. Several basketful, I guess. And they spread them abroad for themselves round about the camp. I guess they dried them and whatever they were going to do. And it says, while the flesh was yet between their teeth, it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. They weren't thankful for all he had done. He'd saved them out of Egypt and all the problems, but they were, I want to go back and get the leeks and the garlics. They weren't believing. And the result was that God said, all right, you wretches, you unthankful people. And he said, all right. And he smote them with a red flag and wiped out of mind. You know, a lot of people don't think that God's ever going to do anything for when they do things. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. God lets things happen that create great problems on people. And we need to be recognized the potential. I don't mean that everybody that gets sick, that God has smote him with something. But I do, the Bible does teach that God does do it on some people who won't listen to him. And he does just allow it to happen and not do anything to help him. And the result is there's great problems in these times in a lot of people's lives. And they're not listening to God. Oh, save me. Make me a pill or some kind of a shot that's going to save me, rescue me from my own foolishness. Now, a lot of our problems, that's exactly what it is. We won't listen to God. And God says, all right, go ahead. You guys want to do it? Then you have to pay the price for it. Well, I'm not going to come and help you. So they struggle along. And he called the name of the place Kibbutz Hatavia, because they buried the people that lost it. It's the burial, the burying place is what it is. In Genesis 3:6, we see the problem as it began, from the beginning. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So, the problem began, you know. And, you know, it's the woman. It's the woman. It's the woman that does it every time. It's the woman. It's the woman. It's the woman that makes our life sublime. And man did the manly thing. He banged his wife. He said, the woman you gave me, she gave to me, I did eat. And the woman, she said, oh, it's that rascal serpent, he's to blame. But nevertheless, the problems began there. And the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. You know, see that? Look at that. The sod was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and desire to make one wise. Those are the basic types of problems that plague our civilization, the people in this world. John 2:15-17 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. You know, a lot of times we just love to turn on the television, look at all the world and the things they're doing, and oh, I'd like to be a movie actor. I'd like to be a movie star. The values that those kind of things say really are utter pollution. You know, Hollywood is filled with all kinds of corruption, and they're proud of it, and they boast of it, and they put it on the screen, and then people go out and watch it. And then they wonder, hey, show our kids this stuff, and they wonder, well, why are kids having problems? Why are they killing people in schools? And you know, and they're having babies out of wedlock and having all kinds of, all these problems in the world. Where are they coming from? Well, do you think that maybe it's because we don't listen to what God said? And we make the world our place of adoration and idolatry? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Remember what we said about that? These are the things that cause the troubles of the world, a lot of them. If we learn to steer away from these things, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world, and the world passes away. All this is going to go. So putting those kind of values up, making those our standards, believe me, it's going to come to an end. It isn't going to work. It's going to create problems in our lives. So we need to learn, forget the world. Let them do their corrupt things, and let's draw together as Christians. This is where we have the protection and the help and the strength from each other, and to raise good families and let the world do their thing. But we're like, Christians are like corks. You know, any of you have ever seen a cork? When I was a kid, we had corks in all of our thermos bottles. You ever try to wash a cork in the dish pan? You can't wash it. It just pops to the surface and it's right on the top. Well, that's the way Christians are. I always think of them. Because when everybody else sinks to the bottom, and it's the stuff you pour out to get rid of, the cork is always goes up to the top. That's because we are doing the things that work. God, we have wisdom from God. He has the real answers. Love not the world. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, these are not of the Father. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. This is the way of success. Matthew 5:27-29. You have heard they were said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Jesus goes to the real solution, the real problem. The problem is the heart. And if our hearts are focused in on sin, and we harbor that, and nurse that in our hearts, the whole body is going to be defiled by it. That's where adultery begins. That's where broken homes begin. That's where children get raised in messed up homes, or maybe with no home. Those are the fruits of that kind of thinking. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Maybe and cast it from you. It is better for one of your members to perish, not that your whole body should be cast into hell. People spend huge amounts of time on pornography and looking at stuff that they have no business with yet. Corruption. It corrupts the heart. And unfortunately, a lot of these guys have persuaded a lot of women, or a lot of women at least do it, to dress immodestly, to act immodestly, they actually like to have the attention of a whole lot of drooling guys. And they think that's the popular thing, that's the thing to do. That's not going to solve problems that creates them. It starts in the heart. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out. If you're going to, if those kind of things we need to remove from our hearts. We have no business in the movies and a lot of the stuff that people go and watch. I don't care what these movie actors want to provide, or these movie actresses, Madonna or whatever that is. You know, let's follow Jesus. Let's look at the good things that God has provided. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honorable, if there be anything good report, whatever. Say, the Bible says, think on these things. Corinthians 10:8. Think on the right things. Get our minds on the right things. Focus on what is good. And do what is good. It's not enough to just hear the word. It says he who hears these words of mine and does it. I liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. You want to be wise? Do it. Listen to what God said and do it. Not just listen to it, but do it. Mark 7:21-23. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. This stuff starts with the heart. Your kids are raised with certain attitudes, and if they're nurtured with the wrong ones, those things feed. How do they become what they are? Because the heart has not been solved. They've been taught atheism, or that they're just some kind of a thing that came from the scum of the earth, you know, and evolved. Well, why shouldn't they be just crummy? They're just animals. The only thing that's important is survival. And that isn't really important to you, really. That's covetousness. All this stuff starts in the heart. Wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. This stuff comes right out of here. You know, right out of our central being. And the question is, what goes into the eye is what gets into the heart, and what goes into the ear. So what are you listening to, and what are you watching? That's the kind of stuff that's going to mess up your heart. And once it's in there, it's hard to get rid of. I remember one time, there were times before I became a Christian, I remember very well. And once it gets in there, it's a hard thing to remove. All these things come from within, and they defile the man. In Colossians 3:5-6, it says, put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. People get their mind, their eyes on the things of the world, the riches of man, and so on. They, you know, terrible. They mess up the sounds. They gamble and get hooked on it. And it's such a foolish thing. It's all built on covetousness. And covetousness has a power. And it causes people to kill other people, do all kinds of things. Because those things take over the heart and eventually blot out the good things. It's like terrible weeds. For which sake, the things' sake, the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Some people have the idea that, oh, if you once become a Christian, you're got a free slide no matter what you do. Well, it ain't true. The wrath of God is going to come on the children of disobedience who disobey God and go and fill their hearts and their lives with those kind of things that defile the man. Romans 13:8-9 says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loves another has fulfilled the law. Love of God and a fellow man is the way to solve these problems, to deal with them. for this you shall not commit adultery. If you love God, you're not going to commit adultery. You shall not steal. You're not going to show unloving attitudes toward others by taking their hard-earned goods. You shall not bear false witness. Lying about others, to others, that isn't godly, and that creates problems. It's not loving. You shall not covet. Coveting is to want something for nothing, basically, that belongs to somebody else properly. And you don't want to have to pay the cost of having to work for it and gain it properly. You shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, that's the basic, broad thing. If we really shall love your neighbor. Now, showing love doesn't mean don't tell them the truth, because it is loving to tell people the truth so they don't have the problems that's going to hurt them and hurt their families and hurt their children or other people around them. True love tells people the truth. Love that is for self says, I won't tell them the truth because they might not like me or whatever. Paul said, Do I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? The truth is important for people who really love people, care about them, and want to say. And they say, Mom says, don't do that. A lot of times kids say, you don't like me. You won't let me have what I want. Well, I don't want you to put your hand on the stove. Burn yourself. Or whatever. 1 Timothy 6, 5 and 11 says, perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw yourself. A lot of people have the idea that, hey, if I can make a lot of money. I've seen that in the church sometimes. People stole from each other. That's a sad thing, you know. And then somebody says, look at the hypocrites in the church. Well, we'd like to get rid of them too. But we'd like them to change and do what is right. I've had to stand up against some of them. But we have to withdraw ourselves from those who do these things. But godliness with contentment is great gain. It is wonderful to be a Christian. I tell you, I never have stood at the bedside of anybody who was a Christian and had said, oh, I wish I had become a Christian. I wish I hadn't become a Christian. I wish I was an atheist. You know, but I'll tell you, watch out for the person that has followed the atheist role, because he doesn't know what's going to happen. And he may come inside with a lot of prayer fear. And he's the one that's going to say, well, oh, God save me. I don't want to die. I've had people tell me that. I don't want to die. Well, there's that old song. What is it? Old Man River? It says they're tired of living and afeared to die. And that's the way a lot of people are. But a Christian isn't. For we brought nothing into this world, and in certain we're not going to carry anything out. So forget the emphasis on riches. I don't mean that riches is wrong, but I'm just saying that isn't your life. And only food and clothing, let us be there with content. Learn contentment. Some people, no matter how they get, they're unhappy because they're afraid somebody's going to get it, or they're so concerned about trying to maintain it or get some more, they're not happy with it. Real contentment comes with contentment with what God provides. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and the snare and to the foolish and hurtful lust which drown men in destruction and perdition. It's so sad. See, people, they work to try to get money and stuff and gambling and everything else, and they're miserable messes of their lives. Hey, I don't care if you get rich, but I do care about you being a miserable mess. And God does too. Well, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. No, he doesn't say money is the root of all kinds of evil. He says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Which some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That you, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You know, we need to run from some things. That's what he said back in that, we're going to see this. Actually, we need to learn to know when to run. The price of sin, huge prices. I'm going to give you a partial list. Sexual diseases. Well, one of our problems in the world is purely caused by irresponsible behavior. And the result is that we have these things running through our society. You are protected from them except if someone who you marry, if you do what God said, might drag it in. Remember, whoever you sleep with, you're sleeping with everybody that they've ever slept with. So keep that in mind. Don't let people talk you into stuff. Your relationships that don't have any, you know, we're just moving together. What a stupid thing to do. You know, the guy has no commitment to you. Oh yeah, he said he loved me. Great. That should be reassuring after you've had a kid. And then you got to chase him down and try to get money to care for you, for the kid. You think about it before. Girls, get smart. Don't do what all the guys want. You know, they have lied. They have fooled people. Oh, fool these girls. Girls are so dumb. You know? What does the guy care? He walks away. The only thing is now the government makes him accountable, but he'll still try to get away. Come on, girl. Be smarter than these guys. Don't try to be like them. Let them learn to respect your values and your Christian standards. And then you got something solid. Emotion disorders. People think, well, if I use something that keeps you from having a kid or some disease, well, I don't have to worry about that. Baloney. You got all kinds of problems that go into your head when you have these unfaithful relationships. And they carry on into your marriage. And they keep bothering you. And they're gonna keep stalking you. Don't do it. Marriage problems? Incredible problems. People, I can't believe the things that people fight over and they can't get along and the marriages get destroyed and the kids, why do we have such messes? The kids are raised without any, the kids are let go like dogs. They run the neighborhoods. Tear things up, steal things. What in the world? Why? People are blind. Why can't they see? Just open your eyes. Look around. Look at the neighbor next door. Look at the neighbor on the other side. See how many of them got homes that are solid. They're raising their kids in good environment. One after another. Oh, divorce this and marry. Oh, they got to have another guy. Marry him, you know, next year, and the person is another guy. We're all following the example of the Madonna and some of these other things. Broken homes. Gambling losses and addiction. You know, I remember a story. I always thought it was a smart one. If you want to gamble, buy a gambling device and give it to your wife. And she can handle all the bets on it. And by the time you die, she'll have enough money to marry a decent guy. You know, use. Hey, you don't get rich gambling unless you're a cheat, a liar, or a thief, and some way can beat the house. Why many people? We give more money away than anybody else. The thieves, the liars, the scammers. You run a business like that, you get thrown in jail. Don't let people take advantage of your covetousness. Legal problems. You got so many legal headaches. Constant legal problems. Can't believe it. And it costs plenty. Those lawyers, they love those problems. They just love to have you have fight with your spouse or fight with a neighbor or when you get thrown in jail because you stole something or drove crazy on the streets because you're drunk or whatever. They love that. They like you. Sure. And they charge. Physical deterioration. The body goes and people have all kinds of problems because a lot, most of it is because of their own bad behavior. And a lot of it goes because somebody else's bad behavior. These are the kind of things that are messing people up. Psychological disorders. You know? The people, you know, I've known some psychologists. And you know who they are? They're people who have had all kinds of psychological problems, usually. They've been under care and everything, so they had to, so they got interested in the job, and so next time they're going to tell somebody else how to not do it, I guess. They don't seem to have any solutions. God has solutions. Change his lives. Change his heart. Change is the way that you really can live and be happy in your life. Pornography, addiction. People get on the, right today, it's tremendous. They get on the BooTube or whatever they call it, and they haul this stuff in. I can't believe. And sometimes they push it in your face. You got an email, next thing you know, here's some idiot is sending this stuff to you, and you try, how do you get rid of it? You pop them out, you know, and say, don't ever let this guy send me again. And pretty soon he changes his name, and here it comes again. It's ridiculous. But don't, especially don't get into it, because they're just going to keep pouring this stuff in. And it messes up your brain. Pretty soon you have all kinds of problems. Exodus 15:26 says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do what is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord to heal you. You want to live good? You want a good life? You want to stay away from a lot of the ailments and the problems of the world? You don't get a lot of those diseases that they've got. James 1:13-15 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither he tempts any man. A lot of people have this alibi. Oh, I said, help myself. I was born this way. That is a lie of the devil. He has deceived them to use that excuse. People use any kind of excuse. You know, if I'm a drunk, it's because, hey, I was born with an alcoholic addiction. Well, I'll tell you something. If you don't drink, you'll never get it. Think about that. And a lot of the same thing with some of the sexual perversion and things like that. People don't do it. They won't get hooked on it. But you do it, and you a lot of times will get hooked. And I'll just try this out. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and passion. God didn't make you that way. He made you to be good. Then, when lust was conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. That's the end. That's where it goes. Alcohol and drug dependency, harm to others, perverted lifestyles, financial problems, abortions, loneliness, guilt, fear, abandoned by God. These are the kind of things that happen when people decide to live in sin. They go out there, and that's why they can't get out of the wilderness. That's why they get stuck there. Oh, I can't help myself, you know, I've got to get the government to pay for it or something else. They can't get out because they got their hearts aren't right, they don't believe in God like they should, and the result is that God brings them up there and he says, you can go over if you want to, but because they don't believe, the result is that they stay there year after year. Whether it's that churches can do that. People can do that in their homes. Never solve the problems. People can do that with their own lives. You know, all of us have started off the same way everybody else did originally. But what happens is we get into some things, you know, but we learn that God is there to help us and we can turn to him and he brings real, genuine solutions. 1 Corinthians 10:11-14. Let's just conclude it here. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. God wrote these things in the scriptures to teach us, to tell us that there's a way out. We can enter the promised land. We don't have to spend our lives in the wilderness. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Don't get big headed and think that, well, I can try it. It ain't going to hurt me. I'll just quit after a while. You know, I want to be one of the bunch. That's maybe fine for cabbages and parsnips and things like that, but it's not where you ought to be. There is no temptation fishing you, but such as man can bear. But God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able. They're Christians. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. People want to say, oh God, take it away from me. You know, I've gone and been foolish. I've made a mess of my life. I've got these hooks. I'm hung up. I'm messed up. I'm drugged up. Now God, take it away from me. Well, you just sit back there and wait, and God will take it away from you. Nope, you got the wrong idea. It says, will with the temptation make also a way of escape that you may be able to bear. You've got to get out. The Bible says, flee fornication. It says, flee idolatry. There's some, you know, there's some fleas hopping around there in the Bible, and you need to learn something from them. The way of escape. Well, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. That's your solution. Get out. You know, there's the door. Move! Don't stay there with that kind of stuff in those kind of places. Get out and go where God wants you. Let's sing our song of invitation. Let's make a decision. I've decided to follow Jesus. He's not going to lead me in the wrong places. He'll lead us beside the still waters. He'll restore our souls. He'll do all of those good things. We can go the right way, but you've got to learn to follow Jesus. Listen to him and get out of the wilderness.